Almost all of us do not realize the suffering that lies behind the products and services we consume. Animals get used as food, for testing, in drugs and chemicals, for entertainment, for work, and a number of other things.
Animals are mistreated a lot, and I started reading up a lot more. I started watching a lot more videos and gaining awareness about what is the true reality and what it constitutes to when you talk about animal welfare.
We need to work on various channels, corporate CSR, philanthropists, as well as retail. We are also partnering with Dasra, and the Dasra team is currently working on a report, a landscape report on the state of the movement, animal welfare movement in India. What are the gaps? What are the solutions or interventions? And how can various stakeholders contribute?
Hello and welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, and businesses, and professionals, and of course, philanthropists, who are disruptors, yet not in your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as the mission. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms. In these special episodes, Catalyzing Change, the Power of Family Philanthropy, as part of Unusual Suspects, in collaboration with Giving Pie, India's first family-focused philanthropy network, we will be talking about the rapidly evolving philanthropic landscape and the paradigm shift that is underway. Philanthropists are increasingly leveraging technology, engaging in collaborative efforts, exploring innovative financial models, and placing a very strong emphasis on equity and inclusion in their giving strategies. Together with families and philanthropists, we'll explore diverse giving approaches and evolving perspectives, aiming to inspire a new era of impactful philanthropy, especially in critical and undeserved sectors. In today's episode, we traverse the evolving landscape of philanthropy's engagement with animal welfare in India. Drawing insights from the India Philanthropy Report 2023, we will unravel the nascent yet promising relationship between philanthropy and building a compassionate world for animals. As the global ecosystem faces ecological decline, driven by diverse factors, including climate-related challenges, a clarion call emerges for urgent and decisive action. I'm delighted to have Parag Agarwal, CFO at Dr. Reddy's Laboratories and the founder of the India Animal Fund. Parag has been championing the cause of animal welfare amongst other social justice movements. I'm also delighted to have Divya Dinesh, trustee at Ashraya Hastha Trust. Divya is an accomplished entrepreneur with a very well-established vegan beauty company, a staunch advocate for animal rights, and has spearheaded the Trust's animal welfare initiatives. Welcome, Parag and Divya. Delighted to have you on the show.
Thank you, Gaurav.
Thank you, Gaurav.
Parag, first to you. Can you share with our listeners what motivated you to pursue your passion in this field of supporting diverse organizations and championing the cause of animal welfare? Also, could you please highlight why you believe this is a crucial area that needs more attention? Parag?
Yes, Gaurav. First of all, thanks for this opportunity to talk about a topic that's truly the purpose of my life. And I do want to share how I got into animal welfare, because this is a question I get asked very, very often. I actually come from a very small town in UP with a humble background. And as we migrated to Delhi and I started doing well in my career, I started noticing a lot of suffering around me. I used to sit in a car with my son next to me playing with a toy, while there were kids outside who were begging. And pretty early on, I decided I wanted to do something for the vulnerable. And kids are clearly amongst the most vulnerable in our society. And I got into education of underprivileged kids, got into checkbook philanthropy, started visiting projects, and finally started a foundation, Tap India Foundation, that focuses on bringing out-of-school kids into the mainstream. But then something changed about 6-7 years back. I wanted to do something big in the area of education, But my niece sent me some videos on how animals get used in our society. And for the first time, I realized how animal use has become normalized in our society. And there are two or three things which I learned over the next couple of years. You know, one was, as consumers, almost all of us do not realize the suffering that lies behind the products and services we consume. Animals get used as food, for testing, in drugs and chemicals, for entertainment, for work, and a number of other things. And we don't realize, for example, the leather which is being used on my car seat cover, which has a natural shade, how that leather was produced, or what kind of suffering lies behind the food I'm eating. That's the first thing that I realized. The second thing which I realized, Gaurav, was that animals are also sentient beings like us. I did not know the meaning of the word sentience at that point in time. It means the ability to, the capacity to feel pleasure and pain. And research has shown that all animals, whether it is a pig or a dog or a cow or a dolphin, they also feel pleasure and pain like us. And the third thing is, which it took me some time to realize, is that it's not just about the animals, it's also about us. There are a lot of intersections with climate, with sustainable food systems, with human health and science. And even if we keep the question of ethics and compassion aside, and we simply look at our own survival, we cannot survive in a world which simply has humans and no other species. And as I got deeper into this whole area, I realized that animal welfare as a topic is quite complex. It has many dimensions, and no single organization can actually solve this. And in my view, what is needed is a kind of a backbone organization that works with various organizations to guide the strategy, to identify interventions, to identify right organizations who can implement that intervention. Somebody who is also helping organizations raise funds, bring talent, and so on. And that is how the idea of India Animal Fund was born. So that's really my story, Gaurav. Maybe a quick minute on your second question, why this is so crucial. As I said, there are a lot of overlaps between the causes that impact humanity and animal welfare. So climate is one example. You know, animal agriculture uses 84% of the land which is used for food to give us 36% of the protein and only 18% of the calories. So actually it is highly inefficient. If you look at it from human health point of view, we know about the AMR crisis, the antimicrobial crisis that we have. And approximately 65% of the antibiotics which are given, which are used in the world, are given to animals. And through them, we ingest these antibiotics. Similarly, in drug testing, if we were to replace animal testing with alternative models like organ on a chip or AI, we can reduce the cost of drug development by 30%. So the point I'm making is that replacing the use of animals will not only reduce enormous suffering, but is also good for the humanity and for the planet.
Right, Parag. You know, thank you so much for, you know, this brief background about how you got to really love animals and also decided to do take up their cause. You know, I just as a personal anecdote, my own association with animals and pets actually came peculiarly through a book. It was called, it is called Man Meets Dog by the famous Austrian zoologist Konrad Lorenz, where he talked with animals, so to speak, and he in the course of the book he enlightens and entertains with his illustrated account of a relationship between humans and pets. And thank you so much. So when you were speaking about your own relationship and with animals, I could so much relate to it. Divya, you know, it's clear that your commitment to animal welfare is a driving force behind Ashraya Hastha Trust's efforts to protect animals, ecosystems, and very importantly, communities. Could you share a specific story or experience that has deeply touched you and exemplifies the impact of your work in creating a better world for animals and humans, Divya?
Yeah, Gaurav, I mean, I'll start off by saying I've always liked animals from a young age. You know, I mean, most kids do, which starts off with wanting a pet and then going on to love watching about animal shows on TV. And I've kind of found, and biology has been my favorite subject in school. So it has, I've always found animals to be very interesting. And, my connection with animals got deeper when I started doing volunteer work over the weekend at an animal shelter. I started off here in Second Chance Cupa, and that is when I came to know the ground reality. You know, for a person liking animals and to actually be with them and seeing, some of these abandoned pets, why they're discarded out of people's lives and how they were treated. It breaks your heart to see these loyal animals who have been part of your family have just been discarded like a piece of item, right? And that's when I realized that there's so much more when I kept hearing stories about, each one of their personal stories, that animals are mistreated a lot. And I started reading up a lot more. I started watching a lot more videos and gaining awareness about what is the true reality and what it constitutes to when you talk about animal welfare. And that's when I decided that we need to work towards animal welfare, which not many people are doing. Even if you see, there are a lot of philanthropists in India and across the world, but very few who are actually actively working on animal welfare related projects. Most of the animal welfare related projects kind of overlap with the livelihood related projects that people take care of when it comes to farmers and, the livestock that they have. But there's no truly, they're not completely concentrating only on animal welfare. And when we look at the planet as a whole, the earth belongs to all of us, right? There's humans, there's animals, wildlife, all of us there. So it's important when we look at things like climate change, and we're also looking at improving the lives of humans, we should also be looking at animal welfare. And that's where at Ashraya Hasta, I thought that that is something we could take up. And we started off our first animal welfare related project with Bannerghatta National Park. And, that we started it off the Ashraya Hasta initially. We did it as a personal thing, but that was what spearheaded us to take up a lot more projects. When I visited Bannerghatta National Park is when I came to know that simple thing like, basic healthcare that is required, say if they find deer injured at the sanctuary, they need to bring it in to examine what is wrong with it and then treat it and leave it back in its environment, right? But to be able to do that, the equipment required to bring it in, anesthetize it, check its treatment and do that was not there. Simple things like there was no heart monitor. They had to rely on physically checking the pulse of the animals while it is undergoing surgery. And this is not just about a deer, right? This also included operation theater used to even do surgeries for animals like lions and tigers. Imagine a 300, 400 pound animal there, and it's under anesthesia and you have to kind of physically check its pulse. There was no oxygen meter. These are all some of the basics that is required for surgery, right? Including there was no ultrasound machine. Some of the equipments that they had was pretty old and not updated. They had a manual, meaning manually operated surgery table that was there. So if they required to change the angle during surgery, someone had to physically do that to lift. And when you have a really heavy animal on this table, it's difficult to do that. And literally at the surgery, you required 4 or 5 people just to be able to keep that animal stable. And you, when you're doing something as complicated as surgery with sharp tools, it's required you do not make mistakes that could cut something else, right? So that is when I realized that, you know, how low funding goes into animal, taking care of animals. Although you have given them a habitat to stay in, you're providing them good food. But when it comes to the rare chance when they fall ill or they require treatment, they don't have a good place to go for treatment. So we started off with, we teamed up with Narayana Health, and we had, when we did research, we found that it's the same equipment that is used for humans that can also be used for animals. It's just that there's an add-on software that kind of differentiates it for the animals. So we got the same equipment from Narayana Health, sent to Bannerghatta National Park, and got that upgraded. Also, something as simple as, you know, bringing in the animal. Most of these animals, because they are running around freely in their habitat, to bring them in, they had to use a tranquilizer gun to be able to capture them, bring them, treat them, and then leave them back. They didn't have a tranquilizer gun which had multiple, shots. So they had, I think, 2 darts in it, and they had to be manually filled. So they'd have to shoot it, and in case it misses, they'd have to go retrieve the dart gun back, the dart, and then refill it and do that. By that time, the animals like deers are so fast, they're gone, right? You know they're injured, you know they require help. How do you catch them? So something like this, this is what got me inspired to take up a lot more projects for Ashraya Hasta Trust. And that is when we started taking up animal welfare projects. We have done quite a few of them involving ABC Center here at Sarjapur with CUPA. We have also done projects related to honeybees preservation and sustainable beekeeping with underneath the mango tree. And even with People for Animals, we have also had a state-of-the-art reptile enclosure recently, had that also established. So I would say this, if you look at the whole universe, there's probably 10% of the projects are probably lesser that goes into animal welfare. The rest, now climate change is being looked into, but still animal welfare needs a lot more importance. And that is not happening. And we wish to inspire people to take such projects up. And that's what we're trying to do at Ashraya Hasta.
Thanks, Divya. As you rightly said, the earth belongs to all, not just humans. And that is something that needs repeated emphasis so that both animals and humans can peacefully coexist in a balance and equilibrium that this earth so badly requires at this point in time. And Parag and Divya, your dedicated efforts in animal welfare are deeply inspiring. And there is no gainsaying the fact that both of you have made remarkable contribution towards it. Given the unique pathways you both have chosen, could you share some challenges or barriers that you have encountered along the way in your journey, particularly in galvanizing more philanthropic capital for this domain? I ask you this question because everything that needs to be done will eventually boil down to how much of capital or how much of money or resources you have to deploy for the benefit of animals. What are the unique or what are the specific challenges that you have encountered in galvanizing philanthropic capital? Because there's enough money in this world, but there doesn't seem to be enough money for animals to be galvanized. Parag, first to you and then Divya.
Yes, Gaurav. So firstly, I would say that I believe that philanthropy must act as a catalyst. I don't think anyone can solve a large problem on their own, but we need to act as a catalyst to bring others into the fold. And I think there are 3 or 4 barriers or challenges that I think I have found in the last 3 or 4 years. The first, obviously, is bringing more capital in. Just to give you some numbers, the total CSR capital in India that corporates contribute is about 26,000 crores, of which only 0.47% goes towards animal welfare, although it is listed as a cause that qualifies for contribution. So that's almost negligible, close to zero. And if you were to go beyond CSR money and look at the entire philanthropic capital, it would be even less. So donors are not really participating in this area. And I think there are a few things that we are trying to do in India Animal Fund. One is we are approaching in a very systematic manner corporates. And in the last 1 year, you know, 6 companies have actually started sponsoring projects with our NGO partners. We are running online campaigns with Give India. We have done a partnership with them. And we have run 4 online campaigns. One of them actually went viral about the horses and mules who are abused in the hilly touristic areas of Badrinath and Kedarnath. In fact, the partner NGO was able to secure a favorable order from the Uttarakhand High Court on this area. So, and about 30,000 people have donated. So I think we need to work on various channels, corporate CSR, philanthropists, as well as retail. We are also partnering with Dasra, and the Dasra team is currently working on a report, a landscape report on the state of the movement, animal welfare movement in India. What are the gaps? What are the solutions or interventions? And how can various stakeholders contribute? And I'm hoping that, you know, this is going to be launched early next year. And I'm hoping that, you know, this is going to bring more and more philanthropists into the fold. The second thing, apart from capital, I must point out, Gaurav, is also raising awareness. That's very, very crucial. I think in general, people are busy with their daily lives, their struggles, you know, with their careers, wealth creation, and it leads to apathy. It leads to the continued use of animals in the society, even though alternatives are becoming available. And therefore, we do need to continuously work on raising awareness. And that's what we are trying to do, as I said, through online campaigns and through other media as well. The third challenge which I've seen is talent. So if we want to make a difference for the animals, we need passionate people, but who can also use their head, who have the right skills, you know, whether it is digital skills, whether it is research capabilities, ability to solve complex problems. So we, 3 years back, started Ahimsa Fellowship Program. You know, it was actually inspired by Teach for India and Gandhi Fellowship, who have made a tremendous impact on the education sector by bringing in thousands of professionals. And we have made a good beginning. We right now have about 27 fellows who have gone through a very rigorous 1 year fellowship and are now working in the movement. And the next batch of 34 fellows is right now going on. So our objective is to create 100 leaders every 3 years to solve the talent problem. And finally, I would say the fourth challenge I found was policy. Because if we don't influence policy, then everything else will not really work in the long run. And it's about both state policy as well as private policy, which is the corporate sector. For example, corporate sector can make a big impact by including not just human rights in their ESG or sustainability targets, but also including animal welfare standards. And we have started doing some work on this to persuade corporates to include animal welfare standards in ESG targets. So one of our NGO partners is focusing on this. They're based in Singapore, Asia Research and Engage, and they're about to launch in India. So broadly, I feel these are the 4 challenges that I've encountered. And I do believe that the cause of animal welfare needs to become mainstream. Today, I think it is a niche cause. The perception is that there are a few activists who are working, who really care about the animals. But we need to make sure that we look at all these 4 dimensions, which is capital, talent, policy, and raising awareness. And if we work on all these 4 at the same time, then we will find that in the next decade or so, we would have made a major impact for the animal.
Divya, what are the specific challenges or barriers that you have come across in your quest to initiate more benefits programs and welfare programs for animals? Divya?
Yeah, so primarily, I think it's awareness. Very few people really know the ground reality of what animals are facing and, you know, how humans are causing damage or how we are not helping these animals get any better. And of course, like Parag rightly said, there's few activists, right? There are individuals working in this animal sector and there are very few organizations. I feel the animal welfare sector needs to build more organizations where such activists can come together and do it in a more productive way, right? One example is during COVID, I saw one of the activists near the area where I stay was going around giving food and water to stray animals during the lockdown time, right? And I had asked him, when have you been doing? He said, I've been doing this since the lockdown started. I wanted to feed the stray animals. And he has a WhatsApp group on which he has like-minded people who take care of small areas in and around the places where they stay. And they were going out feeding and providing drinking water to these animals to ensure, the stray animals, especially when they rely on humans for their food while they go foraging. And during the lockdown, there was very few places where they could get this because all of us were in at homes, right? Then I asked him, why don't you create an organization? Why are you doing this as individuals, you know, doing it as a community? And then I asked, why don't you get like an ATG certificate? And then the one thing that he said was, I want to be able to do that, but to even set up that, I need certain amount of money. It takes a few thousands of rupees for me to be able to hire a chartered accountant who will do this one-time setup of an NGO. And I can't afford that money to set up such an organization. I would rather utilize that money directly into giving to the animals, right? So as simple as this, which is where many of the activists in the animal welfare sector believe that whatever funding they can get, they would rather utilize it than do it into, getting into setting up an organization and to be able to do that. And I feel all the organizations that are working in the sector are kind of working in silos, right? They're not coming together to share knowledge that each one of them have gotten in the experience that they've dealt with animals. If we can form a uniform body that shares knowledge, example of all the organizations in Bangalore coming together on a frequent basis to share what is it that they're doing, how things can be improved. So something like this, we need a governing body. And of course, the policies are not there to take care of animals. Many of the policies that we have not been updated in years, right? So they are many decades old. But if you see the everything, has changed. We should have each of these policies checked every few years and updated. And I would say we have to also update it in accordance to some of the other countries that are able to provide much better care for animals and try to take some bit of inspiration from them and incorporate this into the policy making as well. And yes, animal welfare gets very less funding. But one thing, that I can say is even when we were just doing analysis of, how much animal welfare we have funded, right? It is it is less. The amount of money that goes into animal welfare, each of these projects doesn't require a lot in comparison to when you take up projects related to humans. The sheer amount that is required with lesser amount, you are able to make a lot more impact in animals' lives than when you do the same when it's related to education, healthcare, or any of the other fields that is there. So I would say, if you take up animal welfare, you'll be able to do a lot more or give back a lot more. Because they're very, animals don't ask for too much when it comes to any of them, right? They need food, shelter, security, and well-being, right? Unlike human needs, which includes education, healthcare, and there's a lot more. So their needs are very simple and basic. Yet if we are not even able to meet these basic needs when it comes to, say, stray dogs, stray dogs is becoming, the human stray dog conflict is becoming, is increasing. And every day in the newspaper, you read about how it is becoming a problem, right? But we have to coexist with these stray dogs. The option is not to get rid of them or shift them to another place. It is to be able to live together in a peaceful manner. There are few people taking care of these stray dogs. And then when we bring in rules that says that you're not allowed to feed these stray dogs, you're encouraging them to come or helping the stray dogs get friendly, overly friendly, and then they will bite and all of that. Without having complete understanding of the scenario, people make comments. And this lack of awareness is what is driving people to react than try to understand what is the problem here.
Very well said, Divya and Parag, and also the challenges, particularly where, there are individual activists and there are NGOs, and there is a problem of intermediation to efficient intermediation, if I may say so, and not to speak of the problem of capital there. Finally, both Parag and Divya, we are now in the 20, we have crossed the 75th year of our independence. We'll, in about less than 25 years, we'll be completing 100 years. So how do you look at, let's do some crystal gazing here. How do you look at India at 100, given the challenges that you have faced from your perspective, particularly how can philanthropy serve as a catalyst towards animal welfare? Parag and Divya, both of you touched upon this briefly in the previous response, spotlighting the importance of animal welfare and drive more capital to this sector. But more importantly, what are the strategic steps do you believe are essential to amplify efforts and drive a more compassionate and sustainable future for animals in the lead up to India's centennial year? Parag, first you, and then Divya. Parag.
Yeah, thanks, Gaurav. My dream really for India at 100 would be that we replace the use of animals with alternatives, by and large, that we create not hundreds, but thousands of smart and compassionate leaders who champion the cause of animals, that universities and schools in India will have a chapter on human education and an elective on animal ethics. And 10% of the total philanthropic capital should go towards this cause. Now, to achieve all this, I believe we need to build a capacity of the animal welfare movement. And I passionately believe that the way to do that is, of course, one is to bring more capital. And the second is to create leaders and incubate new organizations and build their capacity, who in turn will accomplish all the other things that we have been talking about. So I think these are the two things that we need to do to build capacity. To the second part of what you said, Gaurav, what do we need to do from a strategic point of view? I would say we need to focus on these four pillars. We need to raise awareness by engaging with multiple stakeholders. So we need to engage with corporates. We need to engage with philanthropists. We need to engage with the government. We need to engage with the medical professionals and so on. So it has to be, we have to build an ecosystem. And so we have to not drive projects, but we have to build an ecosystem. And secondly, we have to build capacity in the form of talent and solid organizations like you see in the area of livelihoods or in the area of education. And I do think we can get there.
Divya, what are the strategic steps do you think that we need to take in the lead up to our centennial year?
I think when we think about animal welfare, one of the things, of course, we think about is about conserving these animals, whether it is urban or wildlife. And we tend to think that it is wildlife means only animals that are there in forests or any of these places. But one, what we forget is there's the now urban wildlife conservation, because humans are taking over many of the habitats which used to belong to animals, and it's getting urbanized. So we need more and more of these animals are continuing to stay or continuing to come into these urban areas to look for their food or shelter. So we need to be able to work on urban wildlife conservation and implement strategic interventions to be able to safeguard and enhance the habitats of these diverse species so that we can coexist with human population. Along with that, of course, there's wildlife conservation, emphasizing the protection of endangered species, preserving their natural habitats, and supporting for rehabilitation initiatives. You know, as due to urbanizations, we are kind of destroying the forests, right? In climate change, we're looking at protecting forests, but at the same time, we also need to look at protecting the wildlife that inhabit these forests so that we don't drive them to extinction. There's a ecosystem in place, and each animal has their role to play. And if you remove one of them from this cycle of life that is there, you know, things can go haywire. Simple thing as even if you say, take example of a honeybee, you know, they're so small and you don't think about it too much in the urban wildlife. You'll think of a honeybee that is honeycomb that is there taking up space in your apartment complex and you just want it removed. But if honeybees stop existing, right, all of Earth's agriculture and all of it will be destroyed in a matter of months, because we rely on them to be able to keep the plants and keep pollination and the whole cycle going on. So their habitat protection, to be able to sustainably keep them, not take advantage of them. We should be able to not do that. And of course, vegan is a term that is getting view, but I feel veganism is in a way misunderstood. People do not really understand the terminology, but I feel that is one way. If each one of us is able to give up, say, one of the things, whether it be food, whether it is leather or any animal byproducts that comes into place, right? That can start a movement. We're not asking you to turn vegan immediately, but easiest would be to say, give up leather, give up wool, give up silk. Yeah. And to be able to start there, and that's where, it's important that we encourage vegan businesses that come in. And this in turn will encourage awareness building.
Absolutely.
And of course, research and development is something I feel we need to do a lot more. There's very less research and development that is happening in animal welfare, how to conserve it. I think the coral reef, protection is where most of it is going in right now.
Absolutely. Very insightful points and a very deep perspective on what the strategic path for India should be in the over the next quarter century as we lead up to the 100th year of our independence. So far as animal welfare is concerned, animals are absolutely essential for our lives too, and the sooner we realize this, the better it is for us, not just the animals. And that is why every solution that we bring about to the world should involve the animals too, because it's we have to meet somewhere midway. It cannot be us versus them kind of an approach. Parag Agarwal and Divya Dinesh, thank you so much for your deep insights and perspectives and sharing your expertise and experience, and also a lot of anecdotes in the world of animal welfare and how some of the goals that we have set ourselves for can be achieved. Thank you so much for dropping by and having this conversation on us on this special episode on Catalyzing Change, the Power of Family Philanthropy, as part of Unusual Suspects in collaboration with Giving Pi. You know, it is very important that we unravel the relationship between philanthropy and building a more compassionate, if I may say so, world for animals. Thank you, Parag, and thank you, Divya.
Thank you, Gaurav.
Thanks a lot, Gaurav.